We'll begin with a word of prayer. And then we'll sing a song. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the day and for life and health and strength. We're glad of the wee bit of wind to blow away the cobwebs. And Lord, we just thank you for your precious promise that wherever two or three are gathered together in your name, that you'll be with them. You'll be in the midst of them. Bless our time together, Lord. And for those that aren't with us but are tuning in, somehow or other, I pray your good hand upon them as well. For Stephen and Anne Marie, for Carol and Harry and Marie, for Norman and for Noel and Joan, his mom and dad, for Jane and Corey, for Henry and Evelyn, for Kate, for Sally, for Pearl and for Alan, Lord. We pray especially for these souls, and Maslam and Georgina. Please bless our time together. Please, Lord, be one of our number. Please minister to us, Lord, through the singing of the praises, the reading of your word, and the preaching of it as well, and the fellowship as too. We love you and thank you, and we pray, Lord, that your good hand would be upon every soul that stands to bring the full counsel of your word. Please protect it in our hearts. Please, Lord, give us everything that we need, not just today, but for the rest of our lives. Give us this day our daily bread, Lord. We ask it all in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus, and thank you again, Lord. Amen. Amen. 132 we'll begin with. Monica was playing the 8 first. I've seen the light flashing and heard the thunder roll. I've felt sin's breakers dashing, trying to conquer my soul. I've heard the voice of Jesus telling me still to fight on. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. No, never alone. No, never alone. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. No.
My feet entangled with with briars ready to cast me down. My Savior whispered his promise, never to leave me alone. No, never alone. No, never alone. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. No, never alone. No, never alone. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. He died for me on the mountain, for me they pierced his side, for me he opened that fountain, the crimson cleansing tide. For me he waited in glory, seated upon his throne. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. No, never alone. No, never alone. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. No, never to leave me, never to leave me alone.
Amen. Not quite in favorite or well-known level just yet, and I actually had to put on my reading glasses because I was missing out a few words and starting to sing the wrong verses, but we'll get there. We'll get there. Amen. 319 we'll sing next. 319. Just a closer walk with thee.
I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk, let me walk close to thee. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee, let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Through this world of toil and snares, if I falter, Lord, who cares? Who with me my burden shares? None but thee, dear Lord, none but thee. Just a closer walk with thee. closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea.
The reading, brother, if you would.
Morning's reading is from John chapter 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it with, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, and ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that you, your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, and ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whosoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, ye love one another. If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own, because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is no greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will surely persecute you. If they have kept me saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they have not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. But I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin, but now they have both seen and hated both me and my Father. For this cometh to pass that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their laws, they hated me without a cause. But when the Comforter is come, whom I shall send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeded from the Father, ye shall testify of me. And ye also shall hear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. Amen.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Norman. Thank you, Steve, for the suggestion of the Bible reading this morning as well. I just want to remind you all to make sure that you get one of the little yellow prayer lists this morning in honor of Norman's and my tie. I'm sure you will realize it's yellow this morning. But please do take one of these and make sure that you make a point at least once in the week of praying for the folks that are mentioned on those prayer lists. I don't think there is too much that has changed since this time last week, but please do continue to pray for Ling and Frank and Dr. Shang, for Will and Christine, of course, as well, and for the rest of the family, for his brother David and sister Naomi and their families. Do pray for Esther. We miss her. We're still missing her. Please do pray that she gets over this skin infection that has reared its head again and is able to join us. And do pray for Pat and Steve too. Steve has a number of health issues, as you know, but problems with his legs and his feet and his chest seem to be bothering him a lot more than usual, so please do pray about that. And he was wanting me to pass on his regards. He misses being here, and of course we miss him being here as well. It is so much quieter without him, but not in a bad way or a good way, in the right way. We'll leave it like that. So please do remember all those folks. And of course we don't have Carol and John with us this morning. Hopefully, at least some of those folks will be with us again this evening. Please do remember, if you would, the Cardwell family and Kate Cairns, please do pray for her. Of course, Will's family and Norman, as they, well, as they still miss loved ones as well, the Moore family too. Is anybody any private prayer requests that? Right, just. All right, thank you very much. I think that's about that. Oh, one other thing. Did you put your hand up there? No.
No.
Oh, great job. Frank was up for a couple of job interviews, online job interviews, with J.P. Morgan and Morgan Stanley, and he was offered a position with Morgan Stanley. So we're glad about that. Prayers were answered there too for him. Please do pray for him. He's young. He's on his own. He's away from the steady and influence of church and family. And just pray for him. Don't forget Stan up in Bangor and our missionaries, the Cosgraves, of course, the Christian Institute, Kids for Schools. Those places are still ongoing, and there are many other Christian outreaches going on as well. So please do pray for those too. But don't forget, you're allowed to pray for the stuff you want. You can pray for anything. If you have this crazy idea in your head that you need a Rolls Royce, you should ask God about it. You might not get it, but you can certainly ask God about it. God, is it okay? Would it be all right for me to have a Rolls Royce? Or, and he'll say, look, Mark, wind your neck in. Or he'll say, well, we'll see about that. But pray about these things. Get them, get the silly things out there in front of God, and he'll tell you whether they're silly or not. Get the important things out there in front of God, and inquire for his help on them as well. So there's a lot going on. Please do pray for each other. Very, very important. Right, we'll have a word of prayer. Would you lead us, Will, and then we'll sing another song.
Father, thank you for bringing us to the church today, Lord, and what the day, Lord, and bring us safe and secure to in that presence, Lord. We want for a number, Lord, and bless each and every head that's covered in the general of our hush of the represented, Lord, both from this church and throughout all the churches that pray to you, please Christ crucified, honored, and truly, according to thy will and do thy service, Lord. And Lord, pray for people who can make it tonight, Lord. Pray for them to impress us, Lord, and may they seek thy face at home, Lord, wherever they may be, Lord. Pray for them, and family, save them, save their souls, Lord, bring them to the full of the cross, as only thou can do. We can only point them, but thou enables them to actually come to the cross, Lord, and pour out their petitions for salvation on Lord Jesus Christ, sacrifice on the cross, Lord. Save their souls, Lord. Pray for Leon Frank and Dr. Shannon, Lord. Help them, we're grateful, Lord. And give, guide, protect us, Frank as he's over in London, Lord. And pray for Dr. Shannon and Nine, Lord. And their business, Lord. Provide for them also to them. And also their spiritual well-being as well, Lord. Pray for Esther, Lord. And provide for her while she's not here, Lord. And Lord, help her in her skin condition, Lord. Heal, Lord. Stop her in discomfort, Lord. And help her, Lord. And guide her and provide for her as well. For Stephen Pat, Lord, and their health problems, Lord. For Stephen, his leg, Lord. And his foot, Lord. And his diabetes and all other conditions both him and Pat have, Lord. Heal them, Lord. And bless them and keep them, Lord. And keep them guided in thy word, Lord. And Lord, for Norman and his, with Sandra, Lord. Help him get over, Lord. But provide for him, Lord. And bless him also, Lord. And guide and keep him daily, Lord. And bring him closer to thee, Lord. With Leonard, Lord, provide for him also, Lord, and Lord, and give him a ministry wherever he is in Macclesfield, Lord. With all the people that are present today, Lord, in my church, Lord, with Christy and Mark and Monica and Norman, Lord, and myself, Lord, with us, secure us, Lord, and guide us for next week, Lord, and Lord, guide us and protect us, Lord, and bring us, draw us closer to thee, Lord, and Lord, may we do everything today in thy service, Lord, and do everything that's honored and truly in thy word for Jesus Christ's sake, amen.
Amen. Thanks, Will. 372 will be our next hymn. I was going to say just a closer walk with you, but it's not. It's Let the Lower Lights Be Burning. 372, if you'd like to stand as we sing. Stand as we sing. Thank you very much. Yeah. You know what? Well, I'm sort of divided. Will we sing another song? Aye, we'll sing another song. 377. I sort of have it in my mind. We should sort of want to get into the preaching, but we'll sing Rescue the Perishing, and then we will open our Bibles. Well, before you go, I'd like to bring you a message from Malachi 4, Malachi chapter 4, called Before I Go. Malachi chapter 4, Before I Go. We're just going to read this whole chapter, this whole half a dozen verse sized chapter, from the very last words that the Lord had for His people, and indeed for us today, from the book of Malachi. Amen. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. And ye shall tread down the wicked, but they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Remember ye the law of Moses my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb, for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Amen. Our last couple of verses there will be our text, but we're going to be thinking upon the whole of the book of Malachi as we spend a few minutes on the subject of before I go. Christy, would you lead us in a wee word of prayer, brother, if you would.
Mercies every morning. We're thankful, Lord, that we can come together in your house for each one that's here, Lord, for the songs that we've sang so far, for the Bible reading as well, Lord, and for this portion that you've laid in the preacher's heart. Bless and guide him, Lord, on your word this morning. Pray that you'd meet needs here amongst us, Lord. Be with those that couldn't be here as well, Lord. Touch them, and Lord, lift them from sick beds, Lord. Just throw out silent battles for them, Lord. Please remember this that's hindering them come together. Congregate with your children, Lord, that you would just provision for them, Lord, and sort of give them victory, Lord, please. Remember, hungry leaders this time as well, Lord. Common sense would prevail amongst them, Lord, that you would be at the forefront of their mind, Lord, which I know it's a big ask, but choose a part of it, Lord, Lord, you can take the victory. Lord, just be with the preacher, Lord. Remember those as well, as he speaks to this end. Bless their hearts, Lord. I pray that you'd save all souls, that you'd strengthen and edify your church, please. Lord, feed your sheep, Lord.
We
ask and pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Amen. Well, we appreciated the songs picked this morning. Sometimes my wife doesn't get to pick a song, but she made sure and had the music planned for the first song before we get in. And I appreciate everybody else pitching in with their songs for Steve's suggestion of our Bible reading and for Norman reading it. And those are good things to do, the praising of the Lord, the tithes and the offerings, the fellowship and stuff, but before we go home, it is always a good idea to have a word from the Lord. And at the risk of labouring the point a little bit, Malachi is not a book that you hear preached from very often, but there are some powerful verses in it. Our text, for instance, this morning, the last two words that the Lord gives his people before he stops talking to them through their prophets and stops giving them any updates. That's the end of the Old Testament and everything that they needed to keep going. He said, Behold, I will send you, Elijah the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a church. With a church, with a curse. I was thinking of church. Maybe the earth could do with being smitten with a church. Goodness, who would have thought? And I know there are a lot of people that have been affected. A friend of mine is also will be losing his job. This is the closest that everything has really come to affecting me recently. And of course, seeing a few less bodies in the church. Please pray for Clive. He needs to get saved. But he's going to be without work, I think, in about a month's time, as the hospital is doing their best to shut down any private enterprise and bring anything and everything under the auspices of the, what is this, the Western Trust, is it? So please do pray for him and his co-workers. Please also remember Paddy and Claire and Oliver and Emma as well, if you would. Anyway, I like these verses because they tie in with other verses that are only a handful of pages away for us, but they tie in with John the Baptist. And John the Baptist's ministry, which nobody could quite put a finger on, but Jesus did whenever he was speaking to the disciples. He said, you know what, if you can take this, if you are ready to bow the knee to the Lord God Almighty and accept this, John the Baptist is Elijah. He has come in the spirit of Elijah. He has been bold. He has been powerful. People from every sphere of life have had their hearts turned towards God. And I love that. I love to see a prophecy unfold, not just in the Word of God, but in our lives, in our lifetimes, and within very recent memory. And I got to thinking, what is the reason for Malachi. Malachi is almost just like the cap put in a bottle. It's like the bookend that at the end of a bookshelf that just stops all the books falling off. It's what God needed for us to know before I go. Before I finish dealing with you, here's a few things you need to remember to keep your eyes open for over the next 400 years or until I come back, because I am coming back, and he says that. First of all, or last of all, he says, I'm coming back. And I'm going to send a prophet to prepare the way. Now, the thing about it is, if I said to you, I'm coming back after a wee visit with you, you would think maybe that would be in a week, at least a few days, and that that would give you an opportunity to recover from my visit and to maybe buy in some buns without fresh cream. Just remember that for future reference. And I think I have to mind shortbread as well because of all the butter in it. But that would give you a chance to recover. You would expect me to come back. The thing about it is that it says away up in 2 Peter chapter 3 that a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years is as a day. And what the Bible means by that is, regardless of how long it takes, God is faithful and he will make good on all of his promises. So he gives the children of Israel this final word before he comes back, before the New Testament starts. And he says, throughout the last book, the whole of Malachi, he says, look, keep on keeping on. All those good things that you've been doing, remember them and keep doing them. And all the wrong things, I want for you to remember there are consequences for the wrong things. And he warns the children of Israel and by extension us, because this wasn't written to us, or wasn't written for us, but it's written so that we can learn from it. He says there's consequences whenever you stop doing good things. Because you stop doing good things, you end up with a space in your life that used to be taken up doing good things. And generally speaking, once the good's taken out, the bad doesn't belong in filling that space up. And that reminds me of a slightly painful era in my life there about, it was about 6 weeks. Was it 6 weeks or a few months after hospital? And they said, and I woke up in hospital and I had a pipe sticking out of my stomach with a wee ball on it, and it looked like something out of a horror movie, and it just gave me the heebie-jeebies, and it was full of all sorts. I kid you not, it took me a lot of work not to pull it out there and then. But they said, that's a drain. And I said, what for? I thought you got everything sorted out. And they said, Mr. Bradfield, because obviously when you get to 55, you must be old enough to acquire the title of Mr. He said, Mr. Bradfield, you have a gap in your tummy where your gallbladder used to be. And we need to drain out the fluids of that, because if those fluids are not drained, they will congeal or set in there and cause you bother. And I thought, right, so you take something good out and then something bad is going to rush in to take its place. And so the next visit I had with the doctor, whenever he signed me out of his care, he said, how's that things going down there? And I said, well, I can still feel it pulling a wee bit from time to time. And I still can. He says, well, Mr. Bradfield, the problem is that whenever you take something out, something good out, like a gallbladder that most people need, the lowest quality of tissue fills its place. And he said, what's that? And he said, fat. And it sticks to everything, and when you go to move, sometimes it pulls. And that's the way it is whenever we get rid of good things in our lives. And, or should I say, it's not a matter of getting rid of them, it's just not keeping them up. Bad things will come in to take their place. Ask any gardener, take away the flowers, take away the bushes and the shrubs, and what will fill its space but weeds and grass? And it's okay if it's a lawn, but if it's a nice wee gardeny bit, It's not what you want. And anyway, God said, keep up with me. It doesn't mean that I am going to rush on ahead, but you should keep abreast of your studies. Keep abreast of your church attendance. Keep abreast of your giving. Keep these things going. Because if you don't, sin will creep in. And God had some awful, awful judgments, but nothing that we don't see in everyday lives. He said, there's always a payback for sin. There's always consequences, so stop doing them. I'm going to give you a reminder, and I'm going to give you a final warning, that whenever you depart from the straight and the narrow road onto the broad road that leads to destruction, you might be saved. And your soul will be saved forever, and there's no taking that back. But everything that you lay your hands upon on this earth will be taken off you. Your family, the things that you endeavour to prosper, to make a living off, they'll all be gone. The devourer, the destroyer, will take them from you. Whenever you reject Christ as your Saviour, there is no escape. It's not a Hollywood movie. People are not going to have a pipeline out of hell where they can come back to this earth and just do whatever they like. There is no escape. It's not a punishment that people can survive. You're not going to get into heaven rejecting Jesus Christ and having a sore behind because God has finished punishing you and it's okay, and then you can go. It's an eternal thing. It's total. It's complete. But as we see, and I got to thinking, I thought, you know what? I've never actually stopped and thought on verse 2 there, for the soul that trusts in Christ as their Saviour. For ye that fear my name, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. I like that. Because that's a promise of God to stick his arm under yours whenever you're weak. That's the promise of the Son of God to fill your mind with good things, with verses of scripture, with the power of God, whenever bad thoughts want to take over. That's a promise from the Son of God to not, and bear in mind, people will say, well, the Old Testament was written to the children of Israel. Yeah, but we're grafted in, Christians. We're grafted into those promises. And we might not be Jews in the flesh, but we're Jews in the spirit. We're God's people in the spirit. He will lift you and keep you, and he says, and you'll go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. In other words, you will have a place of shelter, you will have a place of food, you will have someone to look down upon you and keep an eye upon you, and you will be let out, and you will always be brought back into this place of provision. That's what God has for his children. And that promise has never been rescinded, has never been taken back. It does have some severe words for those that hate the Lord. It talks about them being ashes under the soles of your feet, and that means they're gone. There's not one recognizable thing of them left in this world. They're gone. Does anyone remember when the Lord was talking about, he that falls upon the rock shall be broken? Remember when the Lord was talking about that? And basically what he was saying is, whenever you realize that you need a Savior and you've come to the end of yourself, you fall at the feet of the cross, your heart is broken. Because you have tried everything else and there's nothing else there to save. You've come to the end of yourself and you've found that it's not enough. You have to go further. You're humbled and you're broken. And you have to ask God to save you. And we've used the analogy before about my famous biscuit barrel having to get a taste of super glue and clay and fix it up. And you can do that. And if you come to my house, I'll give you a biscuit out of it and I'll even show you where I did it. But if that stone falls upon you, you're ground to powder and there's nothing recognizable in powder. This powder seems to have disappeared off of the marketplace at the moment for a lot of cancer scares and one thing and another. But powder's just powder. There's no lumps in it. It's tiny wee particles that you can't do anything with. God says that's the way the lost will be. Them and theirs and everything that they've ever striven for, gone. But God, bear in mind that whilst the punishment for the Christ rejecter is severe, it's not just severe, it's total punishment forever and ever. That's not what God wants, and that's why he gave Jesus Christ as his only begotten son. He said, don't forget. Don't forget my word or its importance. And not just, because if everybody in the world followed the word of God, we would have good lives. We would. And that's even the Christ rejecter, if they obeyed the word of God and just did things the way God said to do them, it would quite literally be heaven on earth. But if you obeyed the word of God completely and trusted him as your savior, not only do you have a good life here on earth, but you'd have an eternity in heaven with God Almighty. Why wouldn't you do that? That's how much power the word of God has, but it only works when it's installed in people's hearts. And he closes off the book of Malachi with this promise that he's coming back, and we're looking for that. The whole of the book of Malachi is about reminders of things to do and not to do. He started out in the book of Malachi reminding people about going to church. And he says, you're a bit half-hearted about it. The tithes and the offerings, they're just leftovers. They're the dregs of stuff that are left whenever you've gone and spent all of your money and you find you have a pound left in your pocket and you put it in the church. Instead of putting your tithes and your offerings in. And it shows, the Lord says, where your heart truly is. And he goes on to say, well, you've no knowledge of the scriptures. You don't really know what I want because, well, we know that many times the priests and the ministers back in the day, they weren't doing their job. And if you were to look today, you would say, well, they're certainly not doing their job today. But the sad thing about it is that even with this great lacking in people's lives, people think they're okay. People think that they're on the broad road to destruction, and simply because there's lots of company there, they think they're okay. Now, I'm not mentioning tithes and offerings because I want more of your money. I'm mentioning tithes and offerings because it appears a couple of times in this portion of God's word. And it is a sign of what's going on in people's hearts and minds. It shows you where people really are in their Christian lives. If you were to look today, you would see people very like the people that are mentioned in this portion of God's word in the book of Malachi. You would see people that think that God doesn't mind the way people behave. God doesn't mind people shacking up. God doesn't mind people drinking themselves stupid. He doesn't mind people lying. He doesn't mind them taking the Lord's name in vain and lying out of church. You would think he was talking about today, because that's where we are. The fact that there's five of us in church this morning is testimony to that fact, that even in a gospel preaching church where people are being prayed for, it's up to the person and it shows where the person is. We know some folks can't be here, but we know that there's some folks that could be here. And yet they think they're okay. And God very plainly says, and we have the benefit of another nearly 100 years of scriptures in the New Testament, we have the benefit of knowing that it's not God's will to be out of church. God doesn't need for us to be in church. We need for us to be in church, and we need to be reminded. And the number of times that I actually felt like not being in church, but I came anyway because God said I should be in church, and I came and sat like a duck and thunder with my face like that there and my fists clenched, and after I sang the first couple of songs or relaxed a bit, and by the time it came to the prayers and then the message, I was actually enjoying it and laughing at myself for not wanting to be in church. And I said, I would have missed out on that. And people think it's okay. God says it's not. Don't fool yourself, and there is trouble ahead for you whenever you start behaving like that. People have no discernment because they have no knowledge. And I think that's the reason why so many souls are so easily led away into these weird and wonderful churches like the Seventh-day Adventists, like the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses, and I'm sure there's Scientologists and all these fruitcakes and fruit and nut jobs that we have going round the doors. The ones that we get called for whenever we go round the doors. They have no clue. And someone comes around and offers them something different to what they're hearing in church, because what they're hearing in church most times is not working for them, and they jump at it. They grab the first branch, the first rope, the first thing that they see, and they're gone. And they think, because it's different to the empty faith that they've been exposed to, that it's the right one. New knowledge is a killer. And it doesn't just kill, it doesn't kill you out. But do you remember what the devil said to Adam and Eve? God said that if we even touch it, we're going to die. And the devil said, you will not surely die. Whenever you disobey God, you will not surely die. But friends, there are people that have surely died simply because they disobeyed God. And further on down the line, at the end of their lives, a life without Jesus Christ, they will die. They will have the second death, not eternal life, but the second death in hell in the lake of fire forever and ever and ever. And just like the rich man, all the time that they're in there, they'll be crying out, oh Lord, send someone to tell my family. That torment in hell. Send someone to tell my family before it's too late for them. That lack of knowledge. The Bible actually says my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. The Word of God tells us, and I can't remember the references just off the top of my head, it says there's a famine in the land, not of food, but of hearing the Word of God. We need to be careful, and God says he emphasizes this so much because it actually is that important. It's important for you. It's important for your family. It's important for the people around you. It's important for the things that you set your hand to. God said one of the biggest problems, and this is in Malachi, is false gods. We've already mentioned that a little bit. And all the things, you see, God says you shouldn't do these things. Don't be drinking, don't be smoking, don't be putting poisons in your body. Don't be shacking up with people, don't be laying out of church. Don't be doing all these things, and people say, oh, your life's very restrictive. But the Christian says, my life is actually protected. These things that I shouldn't do, they are not bars that stop me enjoying life. They are safety railings that stop me falling off into those things that would destroy me. Have you ever noticed how many things false gods allow you to do? When you worship a false god, you can lie and cheat and steal. You can kill the infidel, and you are perfectly within your rights as a worshipper of Islam to kill the dogs. Did you know that? They're not going to heaven. In fact, that's one of the surefire ways of you getting to heaven. Kill the infidel. Doesn't sound like a very friendly religion to me. Not one that has an open door to everybody else in the world. Come and join our religion, because as soon as you walk through the door, we're going to stick you with a sword and get ourselves one step closer to eternity. With all those virgins and all those sheets and with all that food and the appetite of 100 men to enjoy it all. Goodness, life, afterlife sounds like an orgy to the Muslim. The Lord gave anybody and everybody an opportunity to come to him. Even those, even the Edomites that are mentioned at the start of this portion of God's word. Even those that traditionally hated Israel were always given an option. Were always given an opportunity. Many folks think they're having a good time, the Lord said, but there is a price to be paid. You can't please God and mammon. And it doesn't just apply to the children of Israel. It's all of us. It's every single man. What's it used to say? Every single man, jack of you. Every single man, woman and child. This is for you. We need to be reminded. Because in the words of the song, tell me the old, old story. Because we forget so soon, we get carried away. And before you know it, we're miles away from where we should be in our lives. We need it. Us being good Christians doesn't make God a greater God. It makes us greater people. It's not, we're not doing God a favor. He certainly enjoys his children behaving properly, just like any parent loves to see their children growing up and doing the things that they do. But it doesn't make the parents greater, it makes the child greater. The child learns to walk, the child learns to talk, the child learns to use the computer, they learn to read, they learn to write. The parent is not getting smarter, the child is. The parent is not growing taller, the child is. And that's what God wants for us. We do it his way. We will become better people. And there is a reason. Even in this book of Malachi, the Lord spoke of the importance of the scriptures and he said, you see the priests, the Levites, he said, because they bothered to take time to learn and to preach and to teach my word, I'll remember them. I'll remember anybody and everybody that strives to obey me. The sad thing about it is the greatest opposition to the word of God today does not come from the devil worshipper and does not come from the Muslim. It comes from the so-called Christian. See, this word that Jesus said at the very end of Revelation, but also during his ministry, he said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. And what that means, that doesn't mean there's always going to be a Bible floating through space. A completely preserved King James Bible with force fields and one thing and a wee speaker on the outside and a radio broadcaster that'll always be preaching the Word of God. It means that the Word of God will endure throughout the endless ages of eternity because it's that important. God said, and it is done. It means that it is more durable. Well, you know, one of the things that the Word of God talks about, the Word of God being more durable, more long-lasting than gold and silver, and these things that are so precious to us, they never rust. They are made into beautiful pieces of jewelry, and they have a beautiful shine to them, and they last for generations. And yet the Word of God is deemed as far more beautiful and long-lasting by God Almighty. It's a help for us to put it into its proper perspective. Jesus said at the end of Revelations, he said, don't mess with my word. It's perfect just the way it is. And if you take something out of it or add something onto it, you're done. That's what God said, which is exactly the same thing he said to the children of Israel. It's the word of God. It's not the words of other gods. It's the word of the capital G-O-D that is most important. Remember this whenever there isn't a preacher out there. I am thankful that in spite of the threats, the warnings of consequences that God always leaves the seeker an option. He always leaves the person that wants to change a way out. Those that walk and talk with God, those that spend time in His presence and in His Word, God will help. He's not going to listen to or bless those that don't obey Him. He's going to, especially if they're His people, His saved souls, He's going to punish them. He's going to chasten them. Does the Bible not say that if God doesn't chasten you, you're nothing of His? It says you're illegitimate, the Bible says. You're nothing to do with Him if He never takes time to straighten you out for your mistakes. And let's be honest, folks, we all make mistakes. Haven't we disobeyed God at some point in the last, I was going to say in the last week, but since we got up this morning, is there some part of us that couldn't be bothered to read His Bible or even to thank the Lord in a quick moment of prayer? Or stubbed her toe and a bad word came out. I'm not suggesting you spend your time at home cursing and swearing at everything, but you know what I mean. God is not going to, He's not going to load the Christian that is out drinking and smoking and carrying on and bringing, doing everything that He shouldn't be doing. He's not going to say to that Christian, I'm going to answer all your prayers, and that big Rolls Royce will be parked outside, and the two bedroom flat you went to sleep in is going to turn into a 100 meter by 100 meter by 100 meter mansion with 15 bedrooms and 4 reception rooms and 3 kitchens and servants to cater to your every whim. I'm not going to do that. Said, in fact, I might even go the other way if you don't do what you're told. I think we lost ourselves a little bit earlier on. I've just remembered something. We spoke about the greatest oppositions to the Bible being Christian churches, having these perversions of the Bible, the NIV, Good News for Modern Man. It's the Christian churches, so-called, that are the greatest oppositions, the liars and the thieves. And I remember one of my biggest surprises was a Presbyterian minister on the Nolan Show that opposed me over which version of the Bible to use. That is where the problem is. But anyway, let's go back, or let's continue on. If you saved soul are living a life away from Jesus, and you're not doing what the Lord asks you to do, you're not even taking time to go to Him in prayer or to make it a point of reading and studying and memorizing and applying and preaching His Word. And that is what it is about, friends. Don't wonder anymore why your prayers aren't answered or why things don't work for you. Because you're letting yourself down and you're not giving God the opportunity to work in your life like He wants to. God wants to give us all good things. Every parent wants to give their child all good things. But when their children don't do as they're told, the only thing that they're going to get is a wooden spoon. Now we all remember Billy, don't we? I remember one time Billy was up at my house. And I don't know what supper or whatever we were doing, but I pulled the drawer open. And you know the way the knives and the forks and the spoons, they all rattled together. And Billy went like that. I said, Billy, what's wrong with you? He says, every time I hear a drawer open like that, I'm reminded of the times my mother reached for the wooden spoon whenever she was coming to punish us. There's a reason for it. There's a reason we need to know these things. There's a reason mankind needs to know these things. He goes on to say, look, get back to me. In the book of Revelation chapter 2 at the book of Ephesus, God said to the Ephesians, you've left your first love. And God says to us now, make sure you're still walking with Him. That you're not away off on your own, that you haven't lost sight of the Lord. He'll never lose sight of you, but we can lose sight of Him. That we get back into church, that we get back to obeying what God says. And I know the preacher is supposed to preach this, and I'm supposed to be up here banging my hand day in and day out reminding you of this, but we all need to draw closer to God. I don't know if you've noticed, but this world is pretty much going down the toilet. And I don't know the closer it gets to going down the toilet, the quicker it spins, or is that the sink I'm thinking about? But anyway, the water spins quicker just before it goes down, and things are going bad an awful lot more quickly today than they ever have been in years gone by. We need the Lord. We need His safety. We need His wisdom and peace of mind. We need His presence. We need everything that God has to offer, and the only place you're going to get it is not, I'm not talking about being in Bethel, about being in the will of God, not just for 2 or 3 hours in the week, but for the other 165 that God blesses us with. God says He will stand in the way of the devourer for you whenever you obey Him. He will stand in the way of trouble for you whenever you obey Him. He will preserve the works of your hands when you obey Him. He will protect your family when you obey Him. And I don't know about you folks, but I would like God to protect my family and prosper the works of my hands and just look after me. And so I am going to obey Him. I would like for my name to be written in that wee book of remembrance that He talks about, the children of Levi, that He would never forget me, and that I would be doing, and it's not a quid pro quo, it's more of a father-son relationship. I want to please Him, and I want for Him to be pleased with me. Now, just a few closing thoughts and then we're done. Hebrews 13 tells us that Jesus never changes. God never changes. These things still apply to us. We don't live in the free, when people say we live in the church age, it's almost like saying, there you go, boy, you've been let off the leash, have a run up the field and do whatever you want to do. That's not the way it is. All of this, these warnings, all of these promises, and indeed the prophecies we have seen come to pass, are still good. They're still as good today as they were back then. And the Word of God is still as good at saving lives and souls today as it was back then. I have two more before you goes. Before you go. The penultimate one is at the end of the book of Revelation. And it's a similar story to this. But it's for, in the case of this, where it was maybe mostly heeded and seen and heard and preached to Jewish people. At the end of the book of Revelation, that was written to the whole world, to the Jews and to the Gentiles. That same power of God that is the Word of God, that is the power of God unto salvation, is for the Jew and the Gentile. That's you and me, as well as God's chosen physical people. And he said pretty much the same. Liars, whoremongers, thieves, murderers, adulterers have no place in the kingdom of heaven. He said, listen to my word. Don't mess around with it. Just apply it like it is and it'll work for you. If you take away from it or add to it, you'll be done. Now the thing about it is, now we're not looking for Elijah to come back. We're not looking for someone to pave the way in the spirit of Elijah like the people were back in the day. We're looking for the Lord Himself to come back, to rule and to reign for 1,000 years, and to give everyone a fair shake, to show us what the world could have been if man had obeyed the Creator. Now we're not there yet. I am sure as soon as Malachi wrote these words down, people got their spy glasses out and started keeping an eye out for Elijah. started keeping an eye out to see what was going to happen, to see these miraculous works. But the Bible didn't say anything about that. It just said turning the hearts of the men to their God, their fathers to their children, children to their fathers, and men in general to their God. And that's what John the Baptist came and did. That's done. Now, we need to keep our eyes out for Jesus as a creature, as a race. We need to be keeping our eyes out for God. Now, the thing about it is, the Jewish people only have 400 years to wait. At the moment, we're at 1900 and a few plus years on top of that. Because don't forget, the last words of the book of Revelation were written about A.D. 50 or 60, about when close to nearly the end of the first century after Christ walked on the earth. He said, these are the things to look out for. And we've been waiting, people say, for nearly 2,000 years for Jesus to come back. But all of his commands are still in the Word of God. All of his judgments are still in the Word of God. All the consequences for disobeying them are still in the Word of God. All we need to do is be reminded, and he's done that. Now, the frightening thing or the exciting thing, depending on your point of view, is that a lot of the stuff that Jesus said was going to happen, instead of having a man come and tell us these things, we have world events telling us these things. It wasn't one bloke in a tiny little country in the middle of the world. That's not what we're looking for. We can see the whole world. People, technology, even very nature itself. All of these things are telling us that the great and terrible day of the Lord is indeed very, very close. So before you go, remember these things, the Lord said. Before I go, here's a few things to remember. And the very last one, and then we're done, except for a song. Before you go from here, don't forget that you don't stop being a Christian when you walk out of those doors. You're a child of the King of Kings, whether you're in your suit and your shiny shoes, or whether you're in a pair of beat up old jeans and a pair of work boots. Don't forget to take Jesus with you as you go. Don't let him down, because there are people out there that, whether they know it or not, and whether you and I know it or not, are depending on you to be a good Christian. So don't forget that before you go. Thank you for your good time. God bless you. I appreciate your attention, folks. Now, we have a slot for a song, if anybody's got one. We'll sing it by way of closing, and then we'll have a wee word of prayer, and we will be done. Did you? Hey, go on ahead.
353.
Sounds good to me. From every stormy wind, amen. 353. If you're able, let's stand as we sing.
There is a scene where spirit
saint.
Amen. All right, let's have a word of prayer, and then we will be finished. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again, for the life and health and strength that you've given us and preserved for us, for your precious promises, Lord, and your very serious warnings. Please, Lord, I pray, even now work in the hearts and minds of all of those that have received a gospel tract, that have heard a word preached, Lord, whether it be from us or from anybody else, Lord, that those words would be secure in their hearts and would be kept for a certain day. We would love for it to be sooner. We would love for the place to be packed, for souls to be saved, to be living for you. But Lord, until there's a packed place of people doing that, Lord, we know that we can do that. Just thank you for watching over us. Thank you for this little bit of space and shelter in the time of storm. And Lord, just lastly, I would like to mention the Charities Commission and the work that needs done around the church. Please, Lord, I pray you grant our needs, our private prayer requests, our petitions. We pray you too for comfort for those that are missing passed away loved ones, Lord. And we leave these things at your feet and pray that you would grant them according to your will. Love you and praise you, Lord. Thank you again. And amen. Amen, folks. We are dismissed. God bless you.